things are possible, Lord, I receive. Shall we pray? Our blessed Father, we want to thank you this evening, bringing us to your house under this rain. Many are coming from far where the rain has been falling, before getting to this place. Thank you for making a way for your people. Lord, thank you for last services we had here on Sunday. Your cares, your protection upon us since that time. Thank you for those who have traveled. Lord, thank you for bringing us once again to your house and the worship, Heavenly Father, that has gone unto you, Lord, from sanctified and dedicated life. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, we are in your house again, Lord, to come and check up with our soul salvation. Your house is the spiritual clinic that every son and daughter of God comes as we have been instructed by your prophet to assemble together, Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that the day is fast spent. May you be our help again this evening. You have always been gracious to us. You have never left us without a blessing. Each time we gather, because your promises are true. You say where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be there. Lord, not as an onlooker, but to grant unto them according to their desires. Lord, we look unto you this evening that you give us faith again, Lord, to be able to draw from the inexhaustible fountain of life that you have presented unto us. Forgive our shortcomings, Father. We stand in your presence, asking that nothing will stand between us and you. May your grace abide upon us, Lord. Thank you for your servant that's not here in our midst. We pray your grace abide upon them. We bless and appreciate you. May you inspire us in the time of prayer that we might pray with faith in our heart, with an inspiration upon us as become a saint, Lord. Thank you, Father. Take absolute control as we return glory and honor unto you at the end of the service. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord, our gathering together is in your name. Lord, may you send your spirit upon your people. May you send your healing virtue. Lord, may you break the bands and the yokes of the devil to set the captives free. To stretch out your hand, Master Savior, to prove yourself to be in the midst of your people. Grant it, everlasting Father. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Praise be to God. We welcome ourselves to Wednesday prayer meeting as we open our Bible to Revelation chapter 3. We read the last two verses. The last two verses. Verses 21 and 22 to continue with the sermon that we have started with. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Lord, bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. God bless you. We welcome ourselves again to Wednesday prayer meeting, knowing fully well that we have a very short time. Thank you, sir. We continue with this topic, sermon, titled, How Can I Overcome? The prophet in the sermon, that in the seven churches book, that let me start by giving a little review of what we have spoken before. We know that when we hear of the word overcome, it means that battle is involved. There's an involvement of battle. And that is why the prophet has not left us without understanding when he preached the sermon, the greatest battle ever fought. And he preached conflict between God and Satan. And he preached the sermon, the contest. There he opened our eyes by the Spirit to understand the tactics of the devil. To know the way he operates. And the prophet said that we are in a battleground. The battle that becomes the battle of men started in heaven. Since the prophet told us they don't originate on the earth, it originated in heaven when Lucifer and his angels conspired together to overthrow God. And he was short of the knowledge to know that God is omniscient, that God knows everything. But because he's an unbeliever, he doesn't believe. Even when the devil is told the truth, when he knows the truth, he doesn't believe it. So he wants to display his nature, his characteristics, to challenge what has been proven to be true. That is why right from Genesis he has been dealing and battling with man. And it's the same word that God has given to his people that through which they have been overcoming. It's the same word that God is still giving to his people today. And it is the same word that they are still fighting. Yet he knows that he cannot overcome that word. And still he keeps fighting that word. Because it is his nature. He does not believe. You can say the Bible says that the devil believes that there is only one God. Yes, he does. But he proves to the people that there are three gods. He gave them Trinitarian to talk about that there are three personalities in the Godhead. He was able to deceive those people. But he cannot deceive the elected because they are part of the world. Praise be to God. So the prophet told us that sooner or later you're going to run into him because you have declared your allegiance to God, who is the world. That is why you become Satan's enemy. That's why the devil fights you. And the prophet told us that it's not you exactly that the devil is fighting. It is God's word that the devil is fighting. So anybody that is facing challenge of life, the devil's intention is for that person to deny the word of God being true. That's Satan's intention. That's the reason he fights. He wants to be sure that the people don't believe that word. But to God's children, it's always been a failure because our victory has been purchased. We are not fighting for victory, but we are fighting from victory. And that is why with confidence we face this journey of life. Praise be to our God. Alright, because of our time now, we just want to look at just a little thing. We want to look at personal temptation. Personal temptation. And we're bringing our thought from Seven Churches book. You can. What? Now, the scripture that we read, the prophet read only verse 21 in this place. My throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father. In the folio, you search the table. Now, what are we to overcome? You will see that. Now, the prophet said, now, what are we to overcome? Like we have said initially, that is the normal question to ask here. But that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. And that is why the prophet picked that title, How Can I Overcome? And in there, he talked about a whole lot of things there. And most times, we
understand that directly we can say that this is how to overcome is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are other things that the prophet talked about in the course of that sermon. The prophet did not just come and say how to overcome, just be filled with the Holy Spirit and stop there. In that sermon, he talked about a whole lot of things. He taught us on how to identify the devil's tricks, to know him. You have to understand how he operates. You also have to have revelation of the word of God. No matter how much we understand the tactics of the devil, the strategies of Satan, if our faith is not solid in the world, we'll be defeated. Because if it is only intellectual faith we have, that cannot stand Satan when trials and temptation comes. Praise be to God. Now, what are we to overcome? That is the normal question to ask here. But that is not the actual thought of this verse, for it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. You see? Now, this is logical. For does it matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how we can overcome? It doesn't matter. Because how to overcome every trial, every challenge of life, every battle of life that will confront any believer, it is the way to overcome that is applicable to everything. It is by the way of the word. Praise be to God. So, what are we to overcome as long as we know how to overcome really does not matter. Now, the prophet made us to know about the Lord Jesus Christ that in his own life, alright, let's, the prophet told us, let me just read that before we continue. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus himself will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptation of Satan. That's why I brought that. We're looking at personal temptation. He overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word and by the word only. Praise be to God. Now, we stop there. Now we talk about personal temptation. An individual is exposed to temptation. And the prophet told us that none of us is immune from it. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, as we can see, he faced temptation. But the prophet called attention in the sermon, the greatest battle ever fought. Because when temptation is coming, there are two sources of temptation. So two groups of people. Temptation, any other trial, challenges of life, your reaction to any of these things will be determined by two things. What is inside of you? If it is faith, genuine faith that is there, or it is intellectual faith. That will determine what the outcome is going to be. We usually display a chart that shows us the triumphing of a man. And the prophet emphasizes so well in the sermon, the greatest battle ever fought. And that sermon was preached before the revelation of the seven seals, where the prophet placed the spirit in the position of the soul. But when the revelation of the seven seals were given, he corrected it. And in the subsequent, right from the revelation of the seven seals, every other time he talks about that, he talks about the soul being the inner circle. And he emphasized that is the canal. That is where the gem of life is. Praise be to God. So in these three rings, the outer ring is the body. Can you please project that thing for us? Maybe they can help if you don't know how to project it. There are three rings. It's because we don't have time. So, to be going to draw it on the board, let me just... we usually project it like this. This is the body. This is the spirit. This is the soul. And there's only one sense for this. It's either faith or doubt. And this one has five senses. This one also has five senses. And this is the one that determines whether we are going to overcome or not. It's what in the soul. Because to every one of us, we have five senses of the body. We have the eyes. We have our eyes. We have our ears. With our eyes, we see objects. And through objects, temptation comes. We have ears. We hear information. Through the information you hear, temptation comes. We have our feelings. The devil can manipulate the feelings. He can deceive you through your feelings to deny you of the reality of God's word. Well, of course, taste and smell. The prophet told us that through those things, the devil can beat us. If a man relies upon these five senses of the body, the devil can beat you. Then there are five senses of the spirit. Well, conscience is one of them. Affection is one of them. Memory is one of them. Imagination is one of them. And then, what's the next? That's the reasoning is one of them. Five senses of the spirit. Any information that you hear or that you see, anything you see, these eyes contact the earthly home, and the rest of the five, the rest of the four senses of the body, we contact our earthly home. We relate with ourselves. Any information you hear is through your ear or through your, you see through your eyes. You call it, you see somebody that's not well dressed. You see somebody misbehaving. You see the picture. You can see the picture in a phone. You can see the picture pasted everywhere. And that picture that you see is an information that is going into your system. And the devil can manipulate it and begin to minister wrong things to you. So your response will not be determined by what is inside the soul. Because if it is faith that is there, that means the Holy Spirit is the one that is there. So, on the basis of this, we look at two groups of people, a born-again Christian and another believer that is yet to be born again. Let me not use unbeliever. Because we are here together. Doubt in God's word cannot give anybody victory. So the temptation that comes to a believer, to a Christian, comes from the outside only. Because he has faith in his heart that repels any negative thing. No negative thing can generate from the heart of that Christian. Because it's the Holy Spirit that is in that heart. So the temptation of that person can only come from the outside. From the information he hears, from what he sees, from the senses of the body and the senses of the spirit. That's where the devil brings information to him. Coming from the outside. Satan shoots his arrow to come in. But the other person that is not filled with the Holy Spirit is exposed to two ways. Because doubt is in his heart, unbelief is there, evil generates from that place. As the prophet described it to us in the sermon, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the other bridegroom. Please, can you project to us paragraph 89, future home? Let's capture the something there. We're talking about personal temptation. Now, when that is going on, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, when he was facing that personal temptation, nobody saw what he was, what was going on with him. Nobody knew what was going on with him. It was alone, he was alone with what he was facing. And that is how it is with everybody. That is why the prophet told us that the mind is the battleground. Because when we are talking about this battle, the battle is between unbelief and God's word. It's between Satan and God. So, Satan and God want to have access to man. And man, the mind of man was chosen as the neutral ground for both of them. So, and that's why the prophet told us that the right and wrong, they are with us every time. You are exposed to the right, you are exposed to the wrong. Through our daily living, through what you read, through the information you hear, what somebody comes to tell you, somebody comes to gossip to you, if you don't have that Holy Spirit in there, you cannot discern that it's gossip. You cannot. You will have listened, you will have participated, you will have contributed. Maybe later coming to church and preaching passes there, that's when you now realize that, that thing is gossip. You know why? You see, there is something that is, as the pastor has always been emphasizing it, there's a difference between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. The difference is the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the soul of the New Testament saints. The Old Testament saints didn't have the Holy Ghost baptism in their soul. Because the blood of bull and animal they were shedding for the atonement of their sins was temporary. The blood of the animal life is slower than the life of the man for whom the sacrifice was made. The animal had only body and spirit, has no soul. But the man whose atonement was being made for is a triune being. He has a body, has a spirit, has a soul. And it is the soul that must be changed. So, that was why in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will come upon them. They will do wonders. They will do mighty things. And yet, that's how you saw David did what he did. So many people will say, we want to equate themselves with David today. You don't understand the plan of salvation for today. If you understand it, you will not equate David with the true believer today. I mean, especially with the adultery that he committed, with the murder that he committed, which he planned. That was because, you know, it took Nathan the prophet to come and bring the attention of David to recognize what he did. Of course, he knew what was wrong, but it never occurred to him. He never saw it the way God saw it. And that's why in the sermon, faith is a victory. The prophet said, until you see your sin the way God sees it, you either repent or perish. Somebody can still raise his shoulder and still wear his coat, his shirt, and put his tie and put his suit and still be gallivanting and do as if nothing happens. And that is why true repentance comes. Until God brings your sin to you and causes you to see that this is your sin, you can't repent. You will still argue. Did Saul not argue? When God gave him commandment, go and destroy the Amalekites and everything that they had, including sucking baby. When Saul went there, what did he do? Did he obey? He reserved the fat animals and his spear Agag, the king of that place. And he brought it into the palace. And then the animal were bleating and mewing him at the back. And God spoke to Samuel and said, Saul has disobeyed me. That was what God said. See, God is the one that has the interpretation of his word. Until God comes and gives you the understanding of the word, you will go with your opinion. And when you go with your opinion, you are not right with God. You can never please God. And that is why revelation of that word is very, very important, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't have revelation without the Holy Ghost baptism. It's one and the same.
Praise be to God.
When God gave that commandment to Saul, merciful God, we have not said something. And when Saul got to, brought those animals, and God spoke to Samuel and said, go and tell him. He has disobeyed me. When Samuel got to Saul's house, Saul was sincere because he believed he had done God's will by his own interpretation, by his own understanding, by his own conviction. To him, he had done God's will. But to God, he was disobedient. So that is why we need God to help us. So for whoever, if anybody has concluded that he has Holy Ghost baptism, you have a reason why you have concluded that. But does he pass the test of the word? That's the question. Does he pass the test of the word, as the prophet has told us? That when we claim we have received the Holy Ghost, he said, check your life with the word. Because that's the confirmation. Saul welcomes Samuel. And he said, oh, blessed art thou of the Lord. He said, I have kept the commandment of the Lord. I've done what the Lord has me to do. Samuel looked at him and said, what about this noise of the animals and behind it something? He said, as for those ones, the people just reserve them to sacrifice to the Lord your God. To sacrifice to the Lord your God? What God has you to slaughter? Saul did not know what it means to obey God. He didn't even know what it means to obey God. That was half obedience, which was never an obedience as far as God is concerned. Samuel told him further that, but look at what God told me. What God, he said, but I had done the commandment of the Lord. I was still arguing with Samuel. Did you read your Bible? Hello? Is that correct? Did he still press his point further? He still. Until Samuel told him, wait, and I will show you what God told me. And then he narrated. Then I said, oh, I'm sorry. I have sinned against the Lord. Until your sin is brought before you by God, you won't recognize this as sin.
May the Lord be our help. See, this time.
Personal temptation. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern when the enemy is coming. He's lying. He's very slick. We have to be part of that word to identify error, to identify everything that is contrary to that word.
May the Lord be our help. Let me read something and then. The prophet said, yeah, a quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus himself. We bring out the truth of this proposition, that what we are to overcome does not matter, but how to overcome. You see, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptation of Satan by the word. You remember, he was the word. And he used the word. The prophet, he did not use his power. The prophet, he appealed to the world. When the devil came and said, oh, if you be the son of God, turn these stones to bread. The prophet said, the devil will tempt you, the devil will come to you and bring temptation to you at your point of weakness. At your point of weakness. And the prophet said, and that is that weakness you have to guide. Because the devil will punch you there. That is the area you have to keep guiding. In the sermon, Christ is revealed in his own word.
He said that's the area you have to keep guarding. You will look at the weakness. What was the weakness of Jesus Christ at this point? He was hungry. Not sin, not unrighteousness. When we talk about weakness, we are not talking about somebody that is has weakness towards women or weakness towards men or weakness towards whatever. We are not talking about a believer having that soft point where that the prophet is talking about. It's not Adamic nature to a believer. No. Is the world. He appealed to the world because that is the only thing that the devil can never resist. The prophet said that is the weapon that God has given to his people right from the beginning. He has nothing better than that. And because that weapon will defeat the devil anytime.
In the past, in the olden days, in the time of the apostles, in the time of the dark ages, and even in our time, that word is as potent as it has ever been. It has never lost its power. It has never lost its reality. It's as true and effective as it has ever been. It can only be active and effective in the heart of the believer. So may the Lord be gracious to us. Let's bow down our heads. Let's talk to the Lord this evening. The only way to be an overcomer is to be a Christian. God bless you. You know yourself. What's the personal temptation that you have gone through? And which one are you passing through? And the prophet said the only way you will know that you are an overcomer, the only way you can be an overcomer is to stay with that word. And the prophet says for that, and that is the only way you will know that you are overcoming. Are you in doubt of that word to be the truth? Are you thinking of other weapons that you feel that human beings should have beside this word to be able to overcome this Satan? Remember, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. And because the enemy we are dealing with does not carry cutlass and gun, is the devil. He's a spirit, and he moves into people. Possessing people, making people to misbehave. We have come to renew strength. We have come to be empowered by the Lord. That's why we have come to the house of the Lord. Commit yourself to the Lord. Are you overcoming?
We come to the house of the Lord to renew our strength, to check all with our soul salvation, and to see where we are standing. And this little something, I believe that you as an individual, you've been able to extray your life, and you have committed yourself to God. If you need the help of God, well, I call our pastor to pray for us, can signify.
Blessed Lord, we are very grateful again to you tonight for making a way for us to sit at your feet, to learn more of you. Lord Jesus, we remember the day you paid a visit to the house of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And Mary chose to sit at your feet to hear the word of life. Martha was busy jumping from one place to the other, though he was preparing food to entertain you, until she felt that Mary was idle. Say, Lord, I'm here, Lord. Send my sister to join me. But what you said was the opposite of what she expected. Say, Martha, you are worried and troubled over many things. Say, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that path, and it will not be taken away from her. We have come to your house, O God, just to present ourselves unto you as little lump of clay. For you are the Jehovah Potter. You are the one that have power to make a lump of clay a vessel of honor or otherwise. We are trusting you, O God, that you further your works in our lives again tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whether we raise our hands, we don't raise our hands. There's just none of us that can do nothing, that can survive outside of your help. Just help us, O God. From the platform to the pews, we are in your hands. Have thy way in our lives. Further your work in our lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In our prayer lives, further your work, Lord. In our study life, further your work, Lord. In every aspect of our lives, we depend upon you as Jehovah Potter to keep on molding us until we come to that perfect statue of a perfect man of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Hands are up, and specifically, no doubt, the God reason why these hands are raised. Lord, whatever, O God, the needs might be, may you meet everyone at the point of their knees. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy holy name. We further commit this heavy situation as when it comes to prayer, O God. Just help us, O Father. Thank you, Father. Replenish your servant that you have made use of. Lift up the honor of his ministry and that of others. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.
Before I hand over to Pastor, I want us to sing from number 61. I shall not be moved. We will sing all the stanzas. And then, when we get to the last stanza, before the last stanza, I will hand over to the pastor.
Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In his love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. All like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. If I trust him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never, I shall not be moved. Oh, like a tree that was planted by the warm water, I shall not be moved. Oh, on this water I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. It's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Oh, like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Sing glory, hallelujah. Oh, I shall not be moved, not be moved. Anchor Jehovah. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Yes, in his love abiding, oh, I shall not be moved. I'm in him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Although hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Will not fail me, oh, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the
water. The tempest rages, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, I shall not be, I shall not be moved, I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water, oh, I shall not be. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, we just want to appreciate your grace upon our lives again tonight. We are thankful unto you, for your prophet told us that the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. And your prophet said the materials that the bride has need of to make herself ready are on the surface of the earth again, already at this hour. And that is the message of our day. As we feed upon it, as we listen to the tapes, as it be ministered by the fivefold, Father, may you continue to increase our rapture in faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you continue to take us from glory unto glory, until we completely become your reflection in actions and in reactions. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Our Master, we thank you for the opportunity again tonight. Give it to us to assemble ourselves to pray over our requests, both the written ones, the one that were raised verbally, and this existing one all together. Our Master and our God, you have taught us to say whatsoever things we desire. When we ask in prayer, we should believe that we have received those things, and then shall we have them. And Master, those who have raised requests, may they believe that their requests have been answered by God. As we believe it, going back to our homes, Lord Jesus, may we not go back with the burdens that we have in our hearts before we come here and raise those requests. May we go light-footed, O God. Testify that Jehovah God have answered our prayers. Thank you for your servants that have traveled, the one that got to Lagos to minister tonight, to travel tomorrow, and the other one that has traveled, O God. Be with both of them. But Femi is at to perfect his head, O God. We thank you, we bless our worship and adore you. We thank you for your brother, Lord Ulysses, so that traveled. Be with him. The purpose of the journey may be accomplished in righteousness. Protect him whether in the night or in the day for your glory and for your honor. We come back with testimony of your goodness and your mercies, Lord. Thank you, our Father. The hour has come. We are bringing the service to a close. We are not leaving your presence. May your presence go with each and every one of us, Lord. Protect us on the highway and on the byway, O Father. Lord, give us sound sleep tonight. Hide us under the blood. As many as are troubled in their body, our vessels is not made for diseases. It's not made for sicknesses. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, Satan, once again, we serve you a warning notice. Remove your hands from God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. From the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, their body, their spirit, their souls, every organ that the Lord put within, Satan, remove your hands. God, flush every form of infection out of the body of your people. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. By whichever means we are going back home, take us home safely. Lord, may we not be forgetful hearers. The things that we have heard again tonight, how can I overcome? Lord, by the birth of man and woman, we were born defeated. Lord, in that condition, we can never be an overcomer. But when we are born of your spirit, we are born victorious. Because it is impossible for the enemy to overcome he that is in us, in whichever way he might want to come in. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you. As many as are filled with your spirit, all the days of their lives, may they continue to rejoice and testify of the goodness and mercies of God. Those that are yet to be filled, Father, remember them for good, Lord. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Lord, we will not bring the prayer to a close until, oh God, we say we appreciate your servant that you have made use of again tonight. May you replenish him for the virtue that has left him, oh God. We remember the rest of your servant in all the nations of the world that make up the fivefold. Father, may you continue to bless them. Lord, you called them fivefold. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Father, we see the manifestation of these four here and there. This fifth one, the prophetic office. Father, we want to see it in its beauty, in its reality, in the name of Jesus, so that we might be able to make reference to such an office, O God, as we do to the major one that you have sent unto us, who has in thousands of them, says the Lord, none ever fail. He has thousands of visions, none ever fail. Tens of thousands of discernment of the thoughts of the heart, which is the manifestation of the Son of none ever fail. Our Master and our God, you have taught us when a prophet is risen in our midst, these things will be in such a prophet. That is where we will know you are the one that said them. Not a man that claimed to be what is not and is speaking presumptuously. Father, help us, O God. May we not compromise. Lord Jesus, this message of the hour, help us, O God, to stay with it the way it has been delivered unto us. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Take all the glory and honor. As we go to Isalu tomorrow, take us there. The very purpose of it may be accomplished in righteousness. As the people go back to their stations, and those who will further their journey to other places, take everybody there safely, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We pray for our president. We pray for the senate. We pray for the house of rep. We pray for the governors. We pray even, oh God, for local government people. Lord Jesus, the resources truly you have blessed this nation with. We want them, oh God, to type those resources to make life a little bit easy for the common man. Grant it, Father. Thank you, our master. Blessed be thy holy. We condemn every spirit of selfishness. Every spirit of self-interest we condemn in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. In Jesus' most powerful name, we pray. Amen. Reach out, shake one another, say shalom. Shalom, my brother. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, my brother. Shalom. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. At the cross. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I fall so dead. At the body of my heart, through the wind. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy for the day. Your blood and did my suffering die. The blood that saved me has caused us and for us now. At the cross, where I fall so dead, at the body of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my answer. And now I am happy for the day. For Christ that I have gone, he grew up on that tree. The grace of those and all your agony at the cross. At the cross, where I fall so delight, at the body of my heart, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy for the day. Where my son, he died, less high, I shot a glory. When Christ the mighty hand had died for my creatures, at the cross. Where I fall, so the light at the body of my heart rolled away. It was that I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Lord, the death of the night.